For our reading this evening, will you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read in that chapter, beginning with verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones, as it should be, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbleth the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or a people for God's possession, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, in the 9th verse, you read these words, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You may have heard the story of the elevator operator. He worked in the job for 2 days, and then he quit. And they asked him why he'd quit. He said he couldn't learn the route. Do you know, I think that it probably is true that none of us, as Christians, ever really learn the route. Have you learned the route? Shall go in and out and find pasture. It's very simple. Not up and down, but in and out. The Lord Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness said to the devil in Matthew 4 and verse 10, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, go in, and him only shalt thou serve. Go in and out. The Lord Jesus spoke to a woman, you remember, at the well, a Samaritan woman, and he said in talking to her, the Father seeketh worshipers. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The disciples may not have realized it, but the Lord Jesus was at that well because he was seeking one of those worshipers that the Father sought. Of course, he left her water pot. And she went into the city, and she said, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? From being a worshiper, she immediately became a witness. You see, the two go together. It's impossible to be a true worker for God unless we are a worshiper of God. And yet, how many there are seeking to work without worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Way back in the book of Genesis, God was teaching us this fact. You remember, it says, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He refused to come into the presence of God. And therefore, he never amounted to anything as far as God was concerned. But Abel was a worshiper. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He put his emphasis on the in. First, Noah went into the ark at the command of God, and then it says he went forth from the ark. That's God's order. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. We read in the 28th chapter of Genesis of a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob was leaving home under the threat of death. And as he was lying there on the stones that he'd made for a pillow, he saw the Lord in a dream. He saw a ladder, it says, that reached all the way from earth to heaven. And on this ladder he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. They were going from earth to heaven and then from heaven back to earth, ascending and descending. That's the order. Go in and out. And the Lord Jesus, you remember, said in John chapter 1 and verse 51, I'm the ladder that Jacob saw. He said, verily, verily, hereafter you shall see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He's the way that we go in, and he's the way that we go out. Faith without works is dead. We must first of all exercise faith in God before any work that we do amounts to anything as far as God is concerned. We have to go in before we go out. And the scripture says that in the process, we find sustenance. Ye shall go in and out and find pasture. You can't come into God's presence without getting a blessing, and you can't come out from God's presence without being a blessing. Shall go in and out and find pasture. You remember the Lord Jesus, he appealed to that vast crowd. In fact, I understand it was just a shout that he made. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He asked them to come in, to come to him, to put their faith in him. And then having come to him, he says, if you leave and take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, you shall find rest unto your soul. He says, I'll give you rest if you come. You'll find pasture in doing that. And you'll find rest to your souls if you go out. And so it is. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There will never be an expression of love or devotion, a true expression of love and devotion for God, unless we have a good appreciation of his great love for us. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It followed her to school one day. It was against the rule. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. What makes the lamb love Mary so? The children all did cry. Why, Mary loves the lamb, you know, the teacher did reply. You see, the lamb appreciated Mary, and therefore it followed Mary. Went in and out. That's God's order. Simple route, isn't it? No reason why we shouldn't realize that, and yet how often we try and circumvent God's order. The Christian life is not easy, but it's very simple. The Lord said to Peter, as it were, it's no sense, we were looking at that last night a little bit, there's no sense you're even trying to feed the sheep if you don't love me. You've got to go in before you can go out. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Unless we go in, when we go out, it will never amount to anything. And so often we forget to go in. Max Reich wrote, "We love to spread our branches, the root life we neglect. We love to shine in public and human praise expect. But in the inner voices, in the inner chamber, rather, where creature voices cease, we may meet God in silence and breathe in heaven's peace." We need to go in if we're going to go out for Him. Alfred Gibbs used to say concerning the Lord, "Whom to know is to love, and whom to love is to serve, and whom to serve is the greatest joy imaginable this side of heaven." God invites us in. He invites us to come into His presence. Once, only the high priest dared to go into the holy place, the most holy place, and he only did that once a year. But now all of us are invited, urged to draw near with true hearts, in full assurance of faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, "Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus, through this new and living way." Over 1900 years ago, the Son of God, hanging on a cross of shame, shouted triumphantly, "It is finished." And when He made that shout, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And now God is signifying that the way into the holiest is now made manifest. The veil is rent. Our souls draw near unto a throne of grace. The merits of our Lord appear. They fill the holy place. His precious blood has spoken there before and on the throne. And His own wounds in heaven declare the atoning work is done. It's finished. Here our souls can rest. His work can never fail. By Him, our sacrifice and priest, we enter through the veil, inside the veil. What a wonderful thing it is that we have this inside place. They shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. And we discover that when we go out, we don't get such a ready acceptance as far as the world is concerned, but God has bidden us to go out. Those who have gone in, to go out. And said Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. "Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come." We read that passage in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 4 to 9, because it tells us of the inside place that every child of God enjoys, and it tells us of the outside place in which we should serve our Lord Jesus Christ. It spoke of the fact that that we are priests, and it says we are living stones in verse, says ye also as living stones are built up, verse 5, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. It's through Him, our high priest, that we're able to come in to the presence of the holy God and offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Think of that. We can bring spiritual sacrifices to God, which are acceptable to Him. And then He says, ye are a holy priesthood. It says, ye are a holy priesthood, that ye should show forth the excellencies of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Holy priesthood. You know, that word holy is a word that is translated with a number of different words in the New Testament. It's the root word anyway, sanctify, which means to set apart for God. It's translated not only holy, it's translated saints. That's what God calls us, holy ones. Those who have been set apart for God. And this has been made possible by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Through the sacrifice of Christ, this has been made possible. In Mark chapter 14, you have an expression that is used only in Mark's gospel of the four gospels. There you have it recorded that the Lord Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." When you turn to Galatians chapter 4, we read that when the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, God doesn't adopt those that are not his children, but he adopts those that are his children. He gives them the place of a son in the family. And that's the portion of every child of God. And then it says in the sixth verse of Galatians chapter 4, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Think of that. We can come as the children of God through our Lord Jesus Christ and be assured of a place as children before him. We sing sometimes, Abba, Father, we approach thee in our Savior's precious name. We, thy children, here assembling access to thy presence claim. From our guilt, his blood has washed us. 'Tis through him our souls draw nigh. And now we can cry as he cried, Abba, Father. What a wonderful thing it was that the Lord Jesus told Mary Magdalene to go and tell his brethren. He says, go tell them that I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And it says that we are called into this holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We can offer up our prayers and our praises to God because we are a holy priesthood. We were looking a little bit about gifts last night, and the gifts of the church have nothing whatever to do with what we have here in this chapter. When you speak of a priesthood, there are different gifts given to the church, but a priesthood, every believer, man or woman, boy or girl, that has put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is by their birthright a priest. Isn't it interesting and rather ironic that God uses Peter alone of all the New Testament writers to declare that every believer is a priest? Those today that claim that Peter was the first pope that have a little difficulty with him because he didn't teach a special priesthood. He taught that every believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, every believer is a priest. And as a priest, we have the privilege of going in and out. Priesthood is not a gift. It's a birthright. We are a kingdom of priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We do not come to God as priests to get acceptance. We come because we already have acceptance. We have been accepted in the Beloved. And God never intended that any of his priests should be dumb priests. And by dumb, I don't mean stupid. I mean, they don't speak. Let the redeemed say so. Doesn't say believe so. Let the redeemed say so. God wants to hear every one of his children speak his praise. Now, I'm not speaking in a public meeting because the Bible has said that the women are to keep silence in the church. But that doesn't mean that in their hearts they keep silence. Man looks on the outward appearance and the Lord looks on the heart. But every one of us should vocally express our appreciation to God. Let Israel now say. Let the house of Aaron now say. It doesn't say put it off, it says now. now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, be praise and dominion, glory and honor. Now, we know we're going to praise him eternally, but we need to start singing the song of praise now. Vance Havner, a preacher from North Carolina, Greensboro, I believe, he said this one time. He said, many Christians, even, can go out on Friday night or Saturday night to a ball game and shout like Comanche Indians and come into the Lord's presence on Sunday morning and sit like wooden Indians. We're to say so. Years ago at the Guelph Bible Conference in Canada, our brother Alfred Gibbs was there, and after the meeting, one young fellow about 17 years of age said to him, you know, Brother Gibbs, he said, it's okay for you to say that we should be saying something, but he said, after all, you preachers have the gift of gab, and some of us find it very difficult to speak. And he said he proceeded to, by the force of his eloquence, to tell me that he wasn't able to speak. But he said, a little while later, I noticed this young fellow, and he was over here with about 8 or 10 young people gathered around him. He said, so I thought I would walk over and listen to what was being said. So I stood on the edge of the young group there, and he said, you know what he was talking about? He was talking about automobiles. Buicks. I'm talking about these Japanese cars back then. Buicks and Chevrolets and Cadillacs or whatever. He said every time he opened his mouth, a new model popped out. He said he was an authority on the subject. He spoke with eloquence. And then he said this. The trouble with that young fellow was this. His heart was a garage. For the scripture says, easy verse to remember. Just remember 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The psalmist prays, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If the meditation of the heart is right, the mouth will be speaking right things. Let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I knew a brother out in Colorado years ago, and he got involved in the charismatic movement, and he was bragging to a friend of mine one day. He said, you know, I can speak in tongues now. Been in the assemblies for so many years, and I've gone over here. Now I can speak in tongues. And this brother said to him very quietly, he said, well, I've been in the same assembly with you for 15 years, and I've never heard you use your one tongue once. And now you can speak in tongues. Wonderful indeed. You know, we sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, and we never open our mouth to speak his praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God loves to hear his children, men or women, boys and girls, in the quietness of our room. We can lift our hearts in praise and worship and adoration to him. We are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There are at least 3 spiritual sacrifices that we can offer to God. We can offer to him the praise of our lips. Remember it says in Hebrews, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So often we take from God and we fail to give him thanks for what we receive. We think only in terms of praying and seldom of praising. Like the little boy, they asked him, do you pray every night? He says, no, some nights I don't need nothing. And, you know, that's about the way we look at things. But God loves to hear the praise of his people. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And he speaks of redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, being accepted in the beloved. There's so many, many blessings that God showers upon us. Yet so seldom does he hear our voices lifted to him, even if it's just in the privacy of our home, just lifting our hearts in praise to him. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I like that. You know, the song that David had came from God. And what did he do with it? He gave it right back to God. What have we got to give to him? What we haven't received, the scripture says. But God delights to hear the praises of his people. The psalmist said, you remember, it says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And then it says in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. That's a spiritual sacrifice. I like the fact that, you know, some people might argue with it, but I like the fact that when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, we have the bread and the wine there, which speaks of his great loving sacrifice for us. And then right alongside of it, we have a little offering platter. God delights to hear our praise for what he's done for us. And he likes to see the expression of our appreciation in a very practical way. He says, but to do good, and to share what you have, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There's a sacrifice that we give of our praise. There's a sacrifice that we give of our purse. And thirdly, there's a sacrifice that we can give of our persons. You know, you read in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, a living sacrifice, holy. That's acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service, the most intelligent thing that you can do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Think of it. You know, we look at the emblems on the table and we see those emblems and we hear him saying, this is my body, which is given for you, as he took that loaf and broke it. Now he says, you've got a body. What are you going to do with your body? What a wonderful thing it is to just present our bodies. A living sacrifice. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then it says we're a royal priesthood. First a holy priesthood. We go in. That's the route. Then we go out. We are a royal priesthood, representatives of the King of Kings, a part of his family, sons and daughters of his, that we should show forth the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, the world about us is in darkness. That's where we were once. But now we're in the light. And he says we're to walk in light. We've been taken out of the darkness. And now we're in the light. And the world about is looking at us. You know, you look out of the window, and if the lights are on in this room, you can't see anything. Turn the lights off and you can see out. Isn't that the way it is? You can see from the darkness into the light, but not the other way around. God has put us in the light, and we're light in the Lord. We're to show forth the excellences of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Some only know in and never go out. You know, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to come to the Lord's Supper for worship, but don't bother me the rest of the week. I'm going to be in, but I don't want to go out. And there are those that go out who have never been in. They go to work for God. They're doing all kinds of things. I'm doing this for the Lord and that for the Lord. And they never take any time to spend in His presence. God says, that's not the way. Go in and out and find pasture. David knew the route. He said in Psalm 23, He leadeth me beside the still waters in quiet meditation. That's where He leads me first, in. And then He leads me out. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, He said, for His name's sake. He leads me in right paths before the world. They observe that life. Isaiah knew that route. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Holy, holy, holy. And he got a view of God in His glory. Then he heard a voice saying, Whom shall we send and who will go for us? Here am I, Lord, send me. You see, he went in. He got an appreciation of the Lord in His glory. And then he went out in service for Him. Moses tells in the very first verse of the Bible, that's the rest. He said, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. First heaven and then earth. First heaven, first God, and then man. That's the route that God has for each of us. You know, sometimes we can be so wrapped up in the earthly things that we forget the heavenly things. Paul speaks of those in Philippians chapter 3. He said they're enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. I used to hear the people say, well, that fellow is so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly use. But I think the problem is just the opposite. The problem is that we're so earthly minded that we're of very little heavenly use. You see, we haven't taken time to go in. Years ago, my wife and I had celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, so that's been a few years ago, 14. Years ago, somebody told us about a place up in Pompano Beach. If you go up there, and they serve you a nice meal, and then they take you up in a paddle wheeler from Pompano Beach all the way up to Boca Raton. So we did that. I forget what it was, about $9 or $10. It sounded like a good bargain. So we went there, and we had this meal, and then we went up this inland waterway. And the fellow who was the MC on the boat, he said to us, now, he says, I want you folks to take a good look at all the homes there for the next 2 miles, because every home on each side of this inland waterway costs anywhere from $500,000 to $2 million. My neighborhood, obviously. So I took a good look at all these homes as we were going up this inland waterway. On the way back, he said this. How many of you folks took a look at the ceiling in the restaurant where you ate this evening? Nobody admitted it to it. And he said, I've taken over 600 trips up this inland waterway, and I've yet to have the first person that said they took a look at the ceiling. He said, when you get back, take a good look at the ceiling. He said, because it costs the man that owns that restaurant, $1 million. I took a look at it, and I didn't think it was worth that kind of money. But anyway, the lesson that I got out of it was this. All of us were noticing what was down here, and nobody was looking up there. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm glad that our Lord Jesus Christ knew the route. Because it says when he chose his 12 apostles, he ordained 12, that they should be with him. And that he might send them forth to preach. First in, spending time with him. And the reason those men made such a profound effect on their generation was they spent 3.5 years in with the greatest teacher of all. And when Peter and John, these two, by the world standards, illiterates, spoke to that Sanhedrin, that ruling body in Israel, it says, they took notice of them, that they had been with Jesus. They'd gone in, and when they went out, when Peter said, this man, he stands before you whole, not because of any strength of us that we have. And he says, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the reason he could speak with such power, he spent time in, and therefore he could go out. And isn't it wonderful to know that our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we know as Savior, he's gone in to heaven as our great high priest. He knows the route. And he's coming out someday. And he's going to bless all of his people. He's gone in to be a blessing for us. And he's coming out to be a blessing. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. May God help us. Aren't we honest if we admit that so often we've forgotten to go in? We come oftentimes to our worship meeting and we sit there because we just feel so empty. And we look back over our life over the week past, we said, you know, I didn't go in. I didn't spend any time in. And therefore, I'm not effective for God now that I'm out. May God help us to learn the route and to be a blessing in our assemblies and in our world. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful indeed for this thy precious word, what lessons it contains for us. And as we look at it, we feel so often rebuked. Thy word is profitable for reproof, we know, and how often we need it. And we pray that somehow thou through thy Spirit would so grip our hearts that we will determine before thee that we're going to spend time in thy presence. We're going to speak to thee about men before we speak to men about thee. Bless us, we pray, and part us with thy blessing. We thank for the privilege of being together tonight. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.